Okay, now turn to Mark chapter 3. And I'm going to come up here and get my Bible. And I'm going to read 3 through 35 because that's kind of where we're at. You know, in 10 years, we might get through Mark. I don't know. And every preaching, I've only had one preaching class, but for sure they said, whatever you do, don't take 10 years to preach through Mark. I'm sure they said that, but oh well. So starting in verse 30. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. And then verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived standing outside. They sent someone to call him, A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. And then Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers, he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister and mother. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. And the key verses here are, then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and mother. See, I think Jesus was teaching a couple different things here. See, the Jewish people of that day, they thought that their lineage, they thought that their birth gave them special access to God. That's what they thought. Over and over again, they thought, well, I'm Jewish and I'm already in. The Pharisees thought that they were in because they were born of Jewish parents. And Jesus over and over was telling them, no, no, no. And we're promised in Scripture all Israel will be saved. But both Old and New Testament, just because you were a child of Abraham did not mean you were Israel, the true Israel. Remember the prophet, he was all discouraged and really down. I mean, he was really depressed. And he's whining and complaining to the Lord. And the Lord said, I have 7,000 Israelites that have never bent the knee. You see, God always keeps a remnant. And in Romans, we're told that the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ have been engrafted into the true Israel. You see, you know, I grew up in a home and my mom was a believer, a strong believer. Let me tell you, if those doors were open, we were in church. And that was threat of life. We were in church. Anyone raised like that? Mom gave us a choice, either the hospital or church. Either one was our choice. It was free. She believed in pro-choice. We had the choice, hospital or church. So we chose church. So when those doors were open, so when I was younger, real young, I thought, well, gee, I'm in too because my mom is. Does it work that way? Doesn't work that way. Every single one of us. And see, that's one of the things that Jesus is doing right now. He is telling the Israelites, no. Spiritually, true Israelites are those who put their trust in Jesus, not their natural birth. So Jesus literally, his mother and his brother. Now, Jesus' mom believed in who Jesus was, but we know that some of his brothers didn't. One did later on. James was very strong, was a pillar. James, the brother of the Lord. You know, so we know that. But Jesus is trying to dispel this idea that your birth, your natural birth, has some special significance, and it does not. Not with reference to heaven. But then another thing that he's doing here, he's doing two things, I believe. He's assuring those people that are with him and following him and listening to him, you guys are truly my family. You're my family. If you follow me, if you do the will of the Father, you're family. And that's pretty big. We just sang it, didn't we? I'd say the name of the song, but I don't know the name of the song. What's the name of the song? I'm a child of God. Thank you. Is that cool? I've told you stories before that when I was really being hounded by someone or, you know, someone was attacking me, I'd warn them. You don't know who my dad is. I'm just telling you. You don't know who my dad is. And then I'd say, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so you better back off. Because I'm not going to do anything, but never know what he's going to do. You better back off. Okay, we're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture this morning. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And I'm going to get my Bible and turn there, and I will be turning slow there because I didn't mark it off already. I'm a little scared to walk over here and pick this up, but I'm safe now. Oh, cool. You took care of it. Thank you. So turn with me to Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I got to put my glasses on even to read this stuff. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So we're looking for Ephesians chapter 1. Man, they make these pages thinner and thinner, don't they? It's amazing. And I'm going to be reading 3 through 14. And by the way, this is, I keep saying this, one of my favorite passages, because I got all kinds of favorite passages. In the original language, this is one sentence. Paul is long-winded, one sentence. And it's nothing but blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. So follow along with me, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his good pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one whom he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory, and you also. So he's first talking about the Jews here. We, he was a Jew. You, Gentiles, also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So what we see, this is all blessing, but I want to focus on just a couple of the rascals in here. So more key verses. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of his will. And now let's just break this down a little bit. He chose us. I told you before, I remember, I grew up with learning disabilities, and I remember lining up on the wall, the teacher chose team captains, and then they chose teams. Do you guys remember that? Do they do that still? I hope they don't, but they did it with me. And you know, who's the cow's tail, last one to be picked? I had learning disabilities, uncoordinated, still uncoordinated, but I was the last one to be chosen. But what does this say God did? He chose. He chose us. He chose you. He chose me. He chose. How huge is that? You're the beloved. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're the beloved. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. Before anything. Before anything, he chose us. Is that cool? Man, no more waiting in line. I mean, I was so embarrassed. You know, you want to just hide. You wanted to disappear. There's only been a few times in my life. Well, I remember those. That was one in particular. The other one was we were at a basketball game and halftime, you know, you switch ends. And I got the ball and I scored on the wrong end. Do you know that's a technical foul? So not only do they get the points, they get the ball, it's a technical foul, and they get a foul shot. At least that's the way it was when I was. I wanted to disappear. Just like in class when they were picking teams, I wanted to just disappear. But that's not the way it is with God. He chose us before the creation of the world. He chose us. And it goes on. Another key concept here, how did he know? Foreknowledge. foreknowledge. And I'm going to another passage here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So the Christians that are just spread out all over the place. Are we included in that? Are we Christians that are, they call that the diaspora. Are we included in that? That's us. To God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And that simply means he knew beforehand. He could look it forward in time. God's not limited by time. And this is one of the few Trinitarian passages. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ by sprinkling by his blood, and sprinkling by his blood, the Trinity. It's one of the passages in the scriptures that have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The baptism has that too. But isn't that cool? He foreknew. And we're going to get to how that's cool too, back to Ephesians. In love, he predestined us to be adopted. I know different families of adopted people here, you know, and you want to get them as young as possible. I still remember my mom and dad, and I'm sure they were just teasing, talking about me. He's from your side of the family. No, he's from your side of the family. Any of you ever have that? Because if it could be taken apart, I took it apart and usually broke it in the process. I did get some things back together, but, you know, when you take the wedding clock, you know, the anniversary clock, and you take that apart, gee, I wonder how that works. You know, that just is not good, you know. And inquiring minds want to know, right? And so I can remember times when my parents wondered, but God, in his foreknowledge, you know, this just means so much to me. He knew every single thing that I would ever do. Everything. Everything. How many of you would like to stand up right now and say every wrong thing you've ever done? Any volunteers? I'll pass. Good choice. And the God that knows everything said to each one of us, I choose you. I adopt you. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You are mine. And you might say you're exaggerating now, but Isaiah 43, 1b, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I got to say, this week, in the small group that I'm leading, we were looking at sacred reading, and we kind of quieted our eyes and got relaxed. And the person that we were, it was a DVD, and they read this verse, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And then she read on. And we were just to quiet our hearts and listen. And when the person read, you are mine, I mean, my heart just jumped. That was the Holy Spirit saying, you're mine. And throughout this week, when I've been tempted or thinking about different things, that came back to me. You are mine. I'm his. It's been amazing. It's been amazing the victory over temptation that has provided. Knowing, I'm his. You are mine. And ironic, the cool thing to me was, I think everyone in that small group, everyone said they heard the Holy Spirit say something. And one of the people said, you are mine, is what they heard too. How cool is that? We're the family of God. We are the family of God. I hope you're getting that. And then in Galatians, just another passage. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. And now that's not just talking to men, it's talking to all of us. The full rights of a son. You know, earlier it said that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Are y'all blessed? The thing is, we are, but how often do we claim it? You know, every once in a while you read in the paper that this person had all this money, but they lived like a pauper. Now, that ain't me. I don't have all that money, and I don't live like a pauper. Look at my checkbook, and you'll know. But they lived like a pauper, like they had nothing, and they had all this money in the bank. Dear brothers and sisters, we have all this spiritual blessing in the heavenlies because we're the family of God. We're sons and daughters of the King. We are the beloved. That's what he calls us, the beloved, his beloved. And yet sometimes we live like paupers. Now, I'm not talking about being arrogant because we have nothing to be proud of. The thing I have to be proud of is he chose me. If I have anything to be proud of, it's just Jesus Christ and his love and what he's done in me. It's not that I was good. It's that he chose me. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. What does Abba mean? Dad. It really means daddy, but I'm not there yet. I never say daddy. I say dad in heaven. I don't say daddy, okay? I didn't call my own dad daddy. I called him dad. Now, I'm sure that at some point the Lord's going to take me to such a level of intimacy that I can say that and it'd be from my heart directly to his and it'd be very meaningful. I think I told you this story a while ago. I was at Mahaffey Camp, the largest camp in the former district I served in. And when I'd pray Abba Father, dad in heaven. And I got two letters from two different individuals chastising me. How dare I talk to God that way? How dare I? Who do I think I am? That's what they said. Who do you think you are? Well, that was easy to respond to that one, to both those letters. Actually, Scripture says, I'm his son. I'm the beloved. I have the Spirit that can cry out, Abba, Father. You do too. But how many of us do that? How many of us realize that? Because the enemy is constantly telling us we're nothing, we're nothing, we're nothing, we're nothing. That's one of the things, after my 360, one of the things that I'm doing this year is I'm trying to identify, I've asked the Holy Spirit to identify all the negative self-talk that I have. And I have a whole bunch of it. You probably pick it up better than me. And by the way, I give you, all of you permission that when you hear me self-talk, negative self-talk, gee, Pastor Jeff, do you realize what you said? Please be kind about it. But I give you permission to speak into my life. Because I've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. You know, one example is Stump the Chump. After this service, I'll be right here, sitting right here, Stump the Chump. And I changed the name of that. I forget what I changed it to, but it's no longer Stump the Chump. Because someone said you want to hear the negative self-talk, so why are you calling yourself a chump? And I did that click and clack. I mean, that's where I got that from. I didn't mean anything by it, but language is important. Words we use are important. You are the beloved. In fact, we've been given a spirit to cry out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. No retirement plan can compare to being an heir up there. No retirement plan here can touch being an heir up there. Amen? I've known so many people over the years that worked and worked and worked for their retirement plan. They retired. They died in a few months. And then they're in heaven. Hopefully they are anyway. Heirs. And so here's the main point. We're going to have a lot of time this morning, okay? Because we're going to spend time in prayer. We are a part of the family of God. Would everyone repeat that? We are a part of the family of God. Again, we are a part of the family of God. One more time. We are a part of the family of God. In fact, I hope you'll say, I am a part of the family of God, and you personalize that. But you know, I found that families are pretty messy. Aren't they? Families are pretty messy. Anyone have a family that's not messy? Don't answer that. And here's what John says. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, by your demonstration of loving each other, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Families are messy. If your family isn't messy, come talk to me. All families are messy. Families are messy. My mom called me twice yesterday. Families are messy, okay? Families are messy. All families are. You know, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, dysfunctional families, that term came out. Man, dysfunctional families are normal. Everybody's family is dysfunctional. If you don't think so, look in the Old Testament. Look at Joseph, you know, who was so exemplary in everything he did. Talk about a dysfunctional family. A dad that played favorites. Brothers that wanted to kill him. Brothers that sold him into slavery. Man, dysfunction is the norm. So even God's family, kind of messy at times. You know, I love y'all. I don't know that I like all of you all the time. But I love y'all. You know what I'm saying? Families are messy. Families are messy. But what the Lord is telling us is our love for each other. That is such a strong testimony to the whole world. The whole world will know that you are my disciples because you love each other. And green means the Lord revealed this to me. Actually, this morning I added this. This is my understanding, Jeff's definition. See that there, Jeff? I could be wrong, but this is my definition of what agape love. Acting in another person's best interest with eternity in view, even if it costs me personally. Acting in another person's best interest. Acting in another person's best interest. Agape love is almost always an action. It's extremely rare that doing nothing is the thing to do. It does happen at times. If you're enabling someone, stopping it. And it's hard to know the line between enablement and love, isn't it? But who can give us the wisdom to know? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide us. So acting in the other person's best interest. And not with the short term, but eternity in view. And who can give you the eternal view? Only God can, the Holy Spirit. And then even if it cost me personally. And isn't that what happened on the cross? Jesus acted in our best interest with eternity in view, even if it cost him. And it did cost him. And John 1 John 4:9 through 21 says this, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, what is he? I told you one time, one of the small towns I lived in, they had a KKK rally. And I wanted to go and talk to some of the guys. And there were some of them, they thought they were Christians. I said, no, you're not. And they even got angry over it. I said, look at what the Bible says. If you hate your brother and claim to love God, you'd be a liar, dude. They like that even more. I talked to Lynette before I did all this because it was right outside our house. And she gave me permission to go and challenge them. Who knows what they do? I didn't care. We had kids, so I did care some, but You can't say you love God and yet hate your brother. It can't be. It can't be. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he hasn't seen. Every single person here has been created in the image of God. Do you follow his logic? If I say I don't like Doug, well, Doug is created in the image of God. How can I say I love God and I don't like someone created in the image of God? It can't be. It can't be logical. It can't be. Because Doug might look more like Jesus than me. And Doug probably does, by the way, just so you know. So, and then he goes on. He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And to use the cross as an example, you know, according to this passage, who loved first? God loved first. So God, I mean, if you just think of the cross, the vertical of the cross, God loved us so that we in turn will love him. And God loves everyone else so that we in turn will love everyone else. See, our love has to be both vertical and horizontal. It has to be both. I don't know if I mixed those up over there. I did. Sorry. I got it. Vertical, V, up and down. Horizontal, that way. Okay? God first loved us so that we would in turn love him. And you know, that's not what the cross stands for, but I'm telling you, that can be an image. If you need an image to remind, the vertical of God loved us first. Jesus came to earth. So now we love him. God loved humanity. And so now we're called. In fact, there's a passage that says that his love is made complete through us. What's that mean? We've been commissioned to love people. Even the ones that we don't like. I would love to talk to some of our politicians. I really would. Because I don't like them much. But you know what? I need to love them. I would love the opportunity to try and understand. Because I literally cannot understand where they're coming from. I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine someone voting that if an abortion fails and the baby's born, that you can kill that baby. What are you guys thinking? I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about them. What are you thinking? What's the difference between you doing that and me bringing a gun in and blowing you away? What's the difference? I don't see a difference. It used to be just 6 inches of geography. Is that right, geography? 6 inches of geography made all this, and the birth canal is not even that big. That used to be the barrier, but now that's not even there. What are you thinking? How can you do that? I don't understand that. I would like to talk to them to try and even understand where they're coming from and try and love on them to demonstrate, you know, you're really messed up, but God loves you. I'm really messed up, and God loves me. I would love to talk. And if any of you can give me enlightenment in that, I'd love to know. I can't even fathom it. I used to have a really good friend that was a liberal Democrat, and he'd let me ask him any question. We were on a committee together, and he's no longer on that committee, so I don't have someone to ask. Every time I go down there in Georgia, I'd ask, can you help me understand? I just don't understand. He'd get a big grin on his face, and he'd say, Jeff, here's the perspective. And I'm like, oh, that's how they got there. I didn't agree with how they got there, but at least it helped me to see how they got there. And so I would like us to have an extended time of prayer. Number one, can we just thank God that we're family of God? Can we thank God that he loved us first so that we can love him? And then, because family is messy, that means all y'all are messy. So am I. Since family's messy, can we ask for the empowerment to love one another? Truly love one another. I've been so convicted about that. Some of you guys, I have a hard time remembering your name. I can remember Lynette's name. I remember my kids' names because I love them. I have no excuse for not knowing your name. I do know your name, Mike. And Tiff. But if I really love, am I going to learn names? Yes. So, it's only 11:03 according to that clock up there. And
it's 11:03. Good.
I'm learning how to use this watch. The other morning, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, in the elders' prayer meeting on Tuesday morning, I hit it by accident. And here you see me try to make it do it. And what did it do? No. At 6:35, it's 6:35 in the morning. Good morning. Crazy thing. So it's only 11:03. We got all kinds of time. The restaurants, the lunches, no one's thing's going to burn. So let's just quiet our hearts. I'm going to begin in prayer. And let's begin with just thanking him. That we're family. We're the family of God. We're heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a blessing now. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I don't know how much that is, but every spiritual blessing, that's quite a bit. But do we live like paupers? So let's thank him. And let's ask him to empower us to love. Agape love, acting in one another's best interest with eternity in view, even if it cost us personally. Let's just ask. I can't love like that on my own. I'm pretty selfish. That's not negative self-talk. That's reality talk. I just am. If there's a big piece of cake, and I don't eat cake that much, a big pot piece of pie and a little piece of pie, Jen's smaller than I am. Now she's eating for two, so that won't work. But you get me? Let's just say thank you. Let's say thank you. And then let's plead for him to empower us to love one another so that the world will see that we're different. And they'll say, I want to be loved too. I want that blessing. I want to be loved too. How do I get in here? It's through Jesus. It's through Jesus. Are you okay with that? If you're uncomfortable with silent prayer, it's okay if you get up and leave. I won't be offended. Okay? But we're going to have some silent prayer, just some quietness. And just pray to God. You can pray out loud. You can pray silently. You can do whatever you'd like. However the Holy Spirit leads you. But let's just take some time to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then, Lord, please, empower me to love. All right, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, dear Abba Father, Dad in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You first loved us. In fact, I think we're going to spend all of eternity thanking you and praising you. We'll become more and more aware. I think we'll have angels coming up. Do you remember when? Do you remember? Do you remember that? I was there. I stopped that from happening. I think we're going to spend so much time praising and worshiping you, and we just want to begin now thanking you. So Holy Spirit, please empower each one of us to say thank you. And then, I know I need your empowerment to love as you love. So in these moments of silence, Holy Spirit, meet each one of us. Holy Spirit, you know that we're uncomfortable with silence, but I ask that you would meet each one of us in a powerful way and that we would encounter you, Abba Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit in a wonderful way. And so please, come. In fact, you're already here. Open the eyes of our hearts. You're already here. So please, touch us. Draw us into prayer and deeper intimacy with you.